my, it's a beautiful world. I like swimming in the sea. I like to go out beyond the white breakers.
Hey, we're back on Downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. A little taste of friend of downtown, Colin Hay, who will be with us on Thursday this week.
Love it. Just good. Oh, gosh. How is that? I mean, how is that the guy who was in Men at Work? Which I is another band I love. Don't get me wrong. It's just like, one day I discovered that song, and I learned to play it on my guitar, and then I sort of looked up who the guy was. Because I fell in love with that particular song before I discovered the rest of his solo work, and it was like, I bawled every time I played it, you know? It was like one of those, like, these are words that you wish you had written, right? And then I'm like, wait, that's the guy who was singing about Vegemite?
Yeah. Hard to believe.
That's awesome. Yeah.
He's great.
I love it.
New album. It's very good. All covers.
Yeah, I got to check it out.
Fantastic.
You got to as someone in a cover band myself, I'm always looking for material.
There you go.
Speaking of which, shout out to my bassist and good friend Rich on his official public wedding. They did the private thing, and then now they finally got to do a public thing. Nice. So shout out to them. I'm sorry I missed it, but I was becoming a godfather last week.
Do I need to kiss your ring?
No, it comes with none of the perks.
Oh.
I was misinformed. I mean, besides the love of my nephew, but, but I was like, okay, so where are my, like, flunkies?
Plus side,
no one's tried to shoot me yet.
Oh,
so,
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I mean, I have seen all the movies. Yes, number three, too. I have a personal connection to number three, so you know I used to be an opera singer.
Yeah.
And the first opera I ever sang professionally was La Traviata under the baton of Anton Coppola, who was Francis Ford's uncle and recently passed at the age of like 183 or something, like ungodly.
Oh.
And he was fantastic. He was ancient at the time when I was, you know, this is a long time ago. And it was so funny because it was a bunch of people from the Rutgers grad school, etc., that were sort of filling these roles and chorus and stuff, and then a bunch of professional singers from the Met, etc. And at one point we were all kind of sitting, and he turned around and he's like, "Get up! I'm 90." I think he said, he was like, "I'm 92 years old and I'm standing. Get up!" And what are you going to say to that? And the man was literally, he was 3'5", I think. That's
nice
hyperbole, but this has nothing to do with wine. Well, actually, that's not true, right?
Right.
Six degrees of Kevin Bacon. Francis Ford Coppola owns wineries,
yes,
and loves wine, etc. And I think, you know, in a weird way, I think movies like that led to my appreciation of what I do now. I mean, opera, of course. So Anton, by the way, is the guy who's in that, in number three, conducting the little group at the beginning, and he conducts the score, etc. But yeah, I think that sort of conviviality amongst the old world wine drinking, I still every time I make like a pasta sauce, I think like a little more wine. And then I'm going to teach teach Eric Charles how to shoot a gun or something. You know, it's like, without those movies, I don't think I would know how to do it right.
You got to hide it here in the toilet tank.
That's right. Everybody thinks like I learned from Tony Soprano, like what the image of people from my area are. No. I've never seen an episode of Sopranos. Although I do know that his daughter went to Colby or something like that, which is kind of fun. Someday I'll get to move. Like, this is the thing, as I drive here, I don't understand how Rich does it. Do you people understand how Rich does it? He literally has working knowledge of every single guest who's on this program. How is that possible? The man not only must not sleep, but I mean, do you have like some magical, like I can fit 8 extra hours in a day binge on stuff? It's stunning.
No, I'm pretty OCD.
Okay, fair enough.
So it's like, okay, tonight I must read this book, must listen to this album, and better watch this movie too.
Yeah,
if I can.
It's incredible. Teaser, Bruce Pratt and I are going to team up on you can't call it a sports lit, but some sort of segment in the future about one of the most famed winemakers in U.S. history. And there is a book out about him, and Bruce got in touch with me and said, you know, we want to do this. And so I'm not going to give you more than that, but the fact of the matter is I have, like, homework now. And I'm like, this is just one little book on one guy, and I'm trying to figure it out, how to fit it into my schedule, and Rich is here teaching school and doing – it's just ungodly. So let's talk about wine. Speaking of nothing else but winemaking, we were visiting northern Italy last week, Piedmont, etc. This week, quick hit to northwest Italy. Northwest Italy is mostly known for Prosecco. Yeah, that's the wine that everybody knows. It's sort of easy to say. It is easily one of the fastest growing import wines into the U.S. It is made in what's called the Charmat method, which is a much more inexpensive method of making bubbly than classical method, method champenoise, etc. So, you know, there are some, you know, quality appellations of it, but the majority of the things that you find for, you know, $12 in your local store are delightful, and you shouldn't be afraid to splash some OJ in them on a Sunday with you know, your brunch or whatever. Again, it's not to say that it's not, there aren't great examples, but they're kind of few and far between, and we can seek them out for you as a merchant. But by and large, when people think of Prosecco, that's where you're at. That is made sort of around Verona. But the first place that is, I guess it's really the heartland of central, northern, western Italian winemaking is Lake Garda and the areas around it and to the north of it. So Lake Garda is an enormous inland lake. You can sort of think of it as like Moosehead, but way bigger. And it moderates temperatures as bodies of water are apt to do, right? Because, of course, in northern Italy, you're facing winds that are coming out of the Alps, right? So cold, blustery winds that are not so, they're good for like drying out, you know, and preventing things like mildew, right? So actually it makes natural, you know, farming actually easier. But you do need something to sort of counteract that, and the lake provides that. So on especially the southern end of it, and specifically the southwest end of it, you have all these different and very interlocking and intermingling appellations. The places where they make Valpolicella and Amarone, Bardolino. There's a lot of Pinot Grigio grown there. The wine we're enjoying today in studio, which is the Due Uve, or two grapes, from the Bertani family. Bertani is the one who really codified what Amarone was in the 1950s. This is Pinot Grigio and Sauvignon Blanc.
And it's delightful.
And we still have some weeks of summer. In fact, per your weather forecast a little earlier, you might want to grab a couple bottles of Due Uve and other nice cooling wines, because it's going to be kind of hot and gross. Yeah. I have some outdoor stuff that I need to do this week, and I'm just like, maybe fall. So this is Lake Garda. Of course, the wine Soave as well. Is one of the appellations there. Soave obviously got a bad name with the whole Americanization stealing of famous European names, your Hardy Burgundy, your Chablis, your Soave. Soave in its natural form is really a wonderful medium-bodied, slightly nutty, in its better forms, nicely crisp, focused wine that is, again, absolutely perfect for a lot of the stuff that you're probably eating and drinking right now. To the far west of the central area is the other sparkling wine that I do like to mention in this segment. It's called Franciacorta. Franciacorta is made in the classical method, right? So the same style as they make champagne. This is really the notable champagne style wine from Italy, if indeed one needs one. And it is usually made with the same varietals, not Pinot Meunier per se, but Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. So it's again, it's a place in Italy where you can use the cooling effects of the Alps to your advantage, growing cooler weather grapes. Now, to the north, where we're talking about, is Trentino and Alto Adige. So Alto High, the Adige range, which again is like the foothills of the Alps, and then Trentino. So these are valleys just to the south of these extraordinarily high mountains. These are two areas that are oft equated. They're a little different, primarily in the fact that when you go into the Alto Adige, which is the northernmost of these regions, everybody's last name is German. They all look like, you know, I always say, like, extras from The Sound of Music. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just sort of important to realize that this is sort of southern Austria in as much as it's northern Italy. And at times, it really hasn't mattered so much, depending on who was in charge where. And the wines that they make there are obviously super influenced by the elevation, by the, you know, cooler area. So you have the other areas would argue with this, but you arguably have the most sort of steely focused Pinot Grigios. You do have some Sauvignon Blanc. You have some other really interesting grapes. Lagrine is a interesting red grape that's up there, which is sort of like Merlot, but with more tannin. Pinot Noir, or what they call Pinot Nero. So you have, again, these cooler weather grapes that really, really thrive off of that. Then, of course, further south from there, now we drop south of Lake Garda, using Lake Garda as sort of like the middle of the compass point here. You're in Lombardy along the Po River, and that's where you find the city of Modena, which is where obviously the famed balsamic vinegar comes from. You also have really, really wonderful fatty cured meats, and there you find the wonderful other important sparkling, although it's more frothy than sparkling, wine of Italy, which is Lambrusco. Lambrusco is just fantastic. People think it's going to be sweet. It's usually not. It can be juicy, but surprisingly kind of grippy. And, I mean, you take that chilled with your charcuterie plate, and you're going to be an awfully happy human being. And if you're Greta and you get hold of my charcuterie plate,
oh no,
you're even happier.
Oh no,
that dog can smell prosciutto a mile away. It is adorable and really annoying. It's the one flaw in our shop dog. I know I'm running out of time, so I just want to mention, we'll just really quickly head towards Venice. That is, again, where you find Glera, which is the grape formerly known as Prosecco. Friuli, which is more east of that. This is the other place where you see some extraordinarily good white wines. It borders with Slovenia along a very windy river, and so depending on which side of that river is exposed to the southwest is the better slope in that particular country, essentially. And a lot of people like to say that the best Friuli and whites come from Slovenia. Regardless of that, you can come into the store and try wines from both places, actually. It's again, this wonderful white wine country. Before I run out of time, I did want to sort of give a nod to cultural events. We are requesting that people mask up in Bangor Wine again, and we will be masked in front of you. It is not a reflection on anything except the fact that it is recommended by science, and we're down with that because, again, I've got two adorable unvaccinated kids at home. Until they can be vaccinated, we just have to do the right thing. I know you're all down with that, so I appreciate it. So do try to, you know, start remembering your masks at home. We've had a lot of people who are well-meaning, but like, I forgot my mask. It's like, at this point, you all have them. Bring them out. Have them. Just have them.
Keep one in the car.
Keep it in the car. I have three in my car, and I put one in my pocket every time I get out, right along with my wallet. And that way, if I need it, I got it. Simple advice from your neighborhood wine merchant who loves you all and loves you enough to want to see you healthy. Cheers.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Have a good week. And Greta, good luck with the prosciutto. We know how that works out.
Yeah, she knows. She gets it.
That'll wrap it up here in hour one of Downtown. On a Tuesday afternoon, we'll take a little break, get you caught up on the news from CBS. When we come back, writer Colin Fleming, Dennis Price with the Entertainment Report, the good, the bad, the ugly, the calendar, and more.
For the man with the badge in the night.